I have a brother-in-law, and the first time I met my brother-in-law Jim, he was dating my sister-in-law, and they both were divorced and had grown kids, and they both had, you know, things in their past. But I heard he was a good man. I heard he treated my sister-in-law well, and was looking forward to meeting him. Now, I also heard that this soon-to-be or potential brother-in-law was a former Lutheran minister. And so I was really looking forward to meeting him. And they came to our house for dinner. This is probably 15, 17 years ago. And I got to tell you something. You may not know it by looking at me, but I'm half Lebanese. I'm half Arab. And Arabs like to argue. It's in our blood. You know, we just love to mix it up. And it's what we do. It's what we get together with my family. We'll argue about politics. We'll argue about sports. We'll argue about religion. We love to argue. And so I've got to try to keep that in check sometimes because not everybody's like me. So I meet my future brother-in-law, a very mild-mannered man, you know, very soft-spoken, mild-mannered man. And we're eating dinner together, and of course the subject came up that I was a preacher in the Christian church and that he's a former Lutheran minister, and we got to talking about the differences, and inevitably, you know, the conversation swings toward the plan of salvation and baptism by immersion of believers, and we were really, you know, going at it pretty good. I was thoroughly enjoying myself because I'm in my element when it comes to arguing. And I could tell he was getting a little, not everybody's that way, you know, and he was getting a little turned off, and I'm still going at it, and I'm going at it, and I'm rolling, and eventually he stopped, and he said, "Al," he said, "I feel like you don't listen when I speak." He said, "I feel like whenever I get the chance to talk, you're not listening, but instead you're thinking of the next thing you're going to say." And I said, I think you're right. Anybody else have that problem? I'm not listening. I'm busy thinking about what I'm going to say next. And you know, I wonder if God doesn't feel that way. That if he doesn't want to say, "Al, you know, you talk, but you never listen." What I want to talk about this morning is the other side of prayer. Prayer is communicating with God, talking to God. I want to talk about listening to God. Do you believe in listening to what God has to say? You know, now let me just say, before anyone, you know, folds their arms and gives me the stink eye, I'm not out there. I don't hear audible voices from God. I am a doctrinally sound Christian Church of Christ, born and raised at Timothy at George Fall. I do not believe in divine revelation and hearing audible voices from God. Okay, I'm not going there. But I do believe God speaks to us. And I do believe we ought to listen to God instead of just always doing the talking. Now, the Bible says in Job chapter 33, if you want to turn to that, Job chapter 33, that's pretty much in the middle of your Bible. Yeah, I believe God wants to communicate to us. And the problem isn't with God communicating, it's with us hearing. It's a perception problem. And in Job chapter 33, verse 14, it says, "For God does speak, now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it." See, it's not a speaking problem, it's a perceiving problem. "In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings to turn men from wrongdoing and keep him from pride, to preserve his soul from the pit, his life from perishing by the sword. Or a man may be chastened on a bed of pain with constant distress in his bones. Now, you know, there's a lot of ways that God has spoken to man down through the years. And you read in the Bible, God spoke through fire. He spoke through a cloud. He spoke through an angel. He spoke through a donkey once. If God can speak through a donkey, he can probably speak through me. A lot of different ways God spoke. I want to talk about four ways, though, that God speaks to us. Not just us speaking, but also listening. Four ways that God speaks to us. Now, the first way, and this should come as no surprise, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but the first way that God speaks to us is through his written word. God speaks to us through the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching and correcting and rebuking and training in righteousness. I love that phrase. The scripture is God-breathed. This book, the words in this book are not just words on paper. It is God-breathed. When God formed Adam out of the clay, out of the ground, the Bible says God breathed into him the breath of life, and this lump of clay became a living soul. Because it was God-breathed. This book is not just paper and ink. This book is living. The Word of God is living and active, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The Bible is God's Word, and it's living. And God speaks to us through his word. Now, you say, well, I read the Bible and I get nothing. And maybe that's true. And there could be a lot of reasons for that. Could be you're reading wrong. Could be you're reading too fast. You know, sometimes we get in a hurry when we read the Bible. Maybe we make a commitment at New Year. I'm going to read through the Bible this year. But we got a goal in mind. You know, most men were very goal-oriented, and here it is. It's January 14th, and I'm scheduled to read Exodus chapter 14 through Exodus chapter 23, and I don't have much time, and so we just read through it. And God doesn't speak to us because we're in a hurry. Now, listen, if you want to hear God speak to you through this book, you got to slow down. You got to slow down. You got to get alone. You've got to listen. And we have a hard time with that, I think. I saw a sign, a church sign this week that said, "Beware of the barrenness of a busy life." That's good. Beware of the barrenness of a busy life. We are so busy, and we try to cram so much into a day. And I don't know if you're a preacher or if you're retired or what you do, but we decide, well, I'm going to spend time in the morning with God. And that's what you got to do. You got to get alone and spend time with God. If you want to hear him speak through his word, you've got to slow down. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still. We have a hard time slowing down. We're so amped up. We got a to-do list that's this long, and we want to get to it. You know, I've got some friends. I've done quite a bit of mission work in Zimbabwe, Africa. And so I've got a lot of preacher friends who are African guys. And, you know, the way they do things there, they're never in as big a hurry as we are. At least it never seems that way. And I've got a friend, his name's Ephraim Chuma, and he calls me on the cell phone a lot. And, he's a wonderful guy. The problem is when you take a call from Ephraim, or even if you come up and you talk to him, I'm in a hurry. You know, I've got things I want to do. And he, it's just their custom. You don't just get right to the subject. You don't just walk up to somebody and speak about what it is that you want to talk to them about. You've got to go through this whole routine. You've got to say, how are you today? Oh, I'm fine today. Oh, good. And how's your family? Oh, my family's good. How's your family? Oh, my family's good too. Oh, how's the church? Oh, the church is. And you got to go through all this small talk. And I'm just, what do you want to ask me? Ask me what you want to ask me. I want to answer it so I can get off the phone and I can get busy doing whatever I was doing. Anybody else have that problem? That we're wound up. We're wound up. And we wonder why we never hear anything from God. Be still and know that I am God. The very first psalm, Psalm number 1, and I don't know what you think about this, but I believe the psalms are in the order that they're in because God wanted them in that order. That's just my thing. There's different. Some people just think, well, they put them together, this reason and that reason. I think there's a reason, there's a method to the order that the psalms appear. Because the very first psalm, Psalm number 1, addresses this subject. It says, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinner, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is on the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Now there's a word. There's a word for you, to meditate on God's word. There's a difference. How many of you know there's a difference between reading the Bible and meditating on the Bible? I mean, if you're a teacher or you're a preacher and you're reading the Bible because of your next lesson, hey, that's good, you need to do that, but that's not meditating on it. If you're reading it because you want to read through the Bible in a year, and by the way, that's a great thing to do. It's a great thing to read through the Bible every year. But if you're doing it and you've got a goal, I want to get from chapter 14, chapter 27, I got to do it today and I got to get going, you're not meditating on the Bible. To meditate on God's word, I mean, just think about that word. When you think of someone meditating, we think of, you know, these weird Eastern people who sit around with their legs crossed and hum or something like that. And, did someone just hum? But, you know, there's something to that. Not the meditating to find yourself and all that, but to read the Bible and hum. Let's all do that on the count of three. One, two, three. You know, I never thought of that before. I was taught at a young age that I ought to read the Bible with these questions. If I really want to meditate on the Bible, Lord, what do you want to tell me today? What do you want to teach me today? What new thought do you have for me today about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit? Is there some example in here that I can learn from? Is there something, Lord, speak to me. Is there something you want me to stop doing? Is there something, Lord, that you want me to start doing? And you know, when you ask those questions and you slow down and you chew on it for a while and you say, and that's meditating on the Word of God. If you want to hear God, got to slow down. You got to want to. You got to slow down. You got to get alone. You got to get alone. You got to be still. You know, Jesus was busy. And those 3 years of his ministry, he was busy. And there's this story in the book of Mark where it says Jesus was up till late at night. And the people, all the people from the town and the village brought all the sick and all those who were demon-possessed, and they brought them all to Jesus. And he healed every one of them. And he cast out demons till late at night. And then the very next verse says, early the next morning, while it was still dark, he got up and he went to a solitary place and he prayed. If you want to hear God speak to you through the word, you got to get alone. Man, you got to slow down. Beware of the barrenness of a busy life. Be still and know that I am God. But God speaks to us. God speaks to us through the Bible, the written word. Now there's another way God speaks to us. God also speaks to us through the spoken word. God speaks to us through preaching. Have you ever sat in church and listened to a sermon, or sat here on the mountain and heard a sermon and God spoke to you? It's happened to me. You know, as a preacher, I know we've got a lot of preachers in this room. Do you know, I believe one of the greatest compliments that we ever receive as a preacher is at the end of the service when someone comes up to you and say, hey, have you been eavesdropping at my house? That ever happened to any of you guys? Have you been listening in on what's going on at my house? You know what that means? That means that the Holy Spirit is working through your preaching. God speaks to us through preaching. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul says, we thank God because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Preaching is God's method. Am I saying that God speaks through the preacher? Yes, that's what I'm saying. If he can speak through a donkey, he can speak through Al Searhall. God can speak through his preachers. And the greatest, in fact, one of the most exciting things to me about being a preacher is the knowledge that I may just say something that God can use to bless a person for the rest of their life. You know, I've heard things in sermons. I spent 4 years at KCU, and I heard a lot of bad sermons. Some of them from students, you know, and a 19-year-old kid gets up there, and he can't even spell homiletics, let alone put together a good sermon. We've all preached those early sermons, and they're bad. But you know what? God will speak to me sometimes through these awkward, poorly put together sermons. W.E. Sangster said once, he said, I went to church this evening, one evening. He said, I was greatly distressed. He said, I sat down in the back row not expecting anything. He said, and I heard a sermon that has blessed me my entire life. Has that ever happened to you? I mean, can you think? I can think of sermons I heard when I was 15 years old. I'm still being blessed from them today. I heard something this last hour by Brother Logan that is blessing me. I heard something last night that's blessing me. But I mean, I've heard things 40 years ago that I'm still being blessed by. And by the way, that's why you should never miss church. I mean, even if you're on vacation, I think I'm on vacation, I don't have to go to church. God may have prepared something for that preacher at Myrtle Beach or wherever you are to say on that Sunday, and you missed it because you were on vacation and didn't get up and go to church. God speaks to us through the spoken word. I was 14 years old, and I was at church camp. And the preacher that week was a guy, I mean, I thought he was old then. Bob Stacy. Bob's got to be 150 years old because he was old then. And I'm 52. I was 14 years old. And Bob Stacy was our preacher that week of camp. And he taught me something that I've never heard this before. Before he would preach that night during Vespers, he would have us all bow our heads And he would have us all say this prayer. And it was a simple prayer. It went like this. Lord, speak to me. Well, you want to change the way you hear preaching? Pray that prayer. I challenge you. Pray that prayer before the sermon is preached. Lord, speak to me. Do you know what the word Vespers means? Anybody know? The word, you know, it's a camp word. We use that at camp for the evening service. The word Vespers means whisper. And I don't know if you grew up going to church camp, but I heard God whisper to me at church camp. Now, again, I'm not talking audible voices, but God whispered to me that week when Bob Stacy was preaching, that old man preaching, and I'm praying, God, speak to me, and God spoke to me. He spoke to my heart. He tugged at my heart. And somewhere that week, I don't know if it was Wednesday night or Thursday night, when the invitation was given, I went forward and committed my life to being a preacher. God speaks to us through preaching, the spoken word. God speaks to us through the written word, the spoken word. But God also speaks to us, there's a third way, through the whisper, the impulse, the impression. John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you." Now, I know some people, they get nervous with a verse like that. They say, well, that was just for the apostles. But how many of you can say that you were driving in your car, you're talking to the Lord, and the Lord impressed something upon you? Has that ever happened to you? Come on, raise your hand. God's impressed something. Don't look around and make sure the guy next to you's got his hand up. God speaks to us that way. He guides us. He leads us through His Holy Spirit. And He reminds us of things. Have you ever been in a discussion with somebody? And I mean, the perfect answer came to you, and you thought, wow, where did that come from? God says that came from the Holy Spirit. Now, I've had times when I've been driving home and I thought, oh, why didn't I say this? Okay, it doesn't always work for me. But sometimes the Holy Spirit gives me something to say. I don't always know it at the time, but I can look back and say, you know what? The Holy Spirit led me that day. The Holy Spirit shoved me that direction. Now, you know, whenever you talk about something like this, there's generally two extreme positions that folks take. One extreme is people say, no, God doesn't ever talk to us in any other way but the Bible, and He doesn't impress us, He doesn't push us, only through the Bible. And then there's the other extreme, and that's this mystic guy who says, well, you know, the Lord told me to tell you this, and the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that. Now, I don't buy that. The Bible says we're to test these things. We're to test. Don't believe everything anybody tells you. Don't believe it because some guy said, the Lord told me this. We're to test the spirits, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. We're to test these things. But God does speak to us. In fact, 1 John 4, 1, I like the way one of the paraphrases puts it. It says, don't always believe everything you hear just because someone says it's a message from God. Test it first to see if it really is. But Job said, or it says in Job 33:14, God talks to us through dreams and visions. Now, what in the world does that mean? God talks to us in our sleep? Well, you know, sometimes that's the only time we slow down enough. There was a woman in my church back in Indiana. She had a little autistic boy. And I don't know if you have any experience with autistic kids, but they're all different. But this particular boy, he was pretty wild. Most autistic children, they don't like to be touched. They don't like to be held. They don't like affection. They're just kind of in their own world, kind of doing their own thing. And I'll never forget something she told me once. He was, I guess, about 8 years old at the time. I mean, it broke my heart. She said, sometimes at night, when my little boy's asleep, She said, I'll go in his room and I'll hold him. Because it's the only time he'll let me hold him, is when he's asleep. You know, I wonder if God doesn't view us as autistic sometimes. Because we're so busy. We don't have time to talk to him. We don't have time to listen to him. We're so busy. And a lot of times we're busy doing his work. But we can't even slow down enough to get alone and spend time with him. We're autistic spiritually. So he has to hold us in our sleep. Now, again, I'm not getting weird on you, but I found this to be true. And especially as you get older. You know, when you're young, I mean, when you're 25 years old, you hit the bed, you don't wake up until that alarm goes off, right? I mean, you sleep. But when you get, I'm in my 50s now. You get in your 50s, you don't sleep so good, all right? I mean, you wake up at least twice a night just to go to the bathroom, right? The women aren't here tonight, are they? Okay. We do. We get up. I mean, anything moves, the house creaks, and we wake up. We don't sleep when we're older. But what I found is that's a good time to pray. That's a good time to talk to God. Let me tell you a little story. You know, one of the founders of this great prayer clinic was not only Preacher Clarence Greenleaf, but Brother Don DeWelt from the Ozarks. And Don DeWelt, most of you know, was pretty well known for his prayer life. He wrote that little book, Sweet Hour of Prayer, and he talked a lot about prayer. He believed in prayer, and he was one of the reasons why this prayer clinic was formed. He and Preacher Greenleaf believed then, as we believe now, that what we need is to pray. But you know, I remember hearing as a kid, because I'd see Don DeWelt every year at our family camp. He was always there, and he always talked about prayer and how he'd get up at, you know, real early in the morning. And I tried that, you know, and I just fall asleep, you know. I just fall asleep. Of course, I was younger then. But I heard this story. I was driving in a car with Keith Curran, president of Kentucky Christian University. And we were talking about prayer, and somehow we got on the subject of Don DeWelt. And he said, I know something about Don DeWelt that a lot of people don't know about his early morning prayers. And I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, one time, he and I were both scheduled to speak somewhere. I think it was Hillsboro Family Camp. And he said, in fact, I think it's the same down there, Kerry. And you still got the one little hotel, the little mom and pop place. That's all there is. And he said, that's all there was this little hotel, and all the rooms were taken. And for whatever reason, he and Don DeWelt had to share a hotel room because they were both scheduled to speak. Now, they didn't know each other very well. He said, so Don told me before we went to bed, he said, Keith, he said, I don't want you to be alarmed, he said, but I get up, you know, really early in the morning, and I spend time with God. He said, this is my custom. This is what I do. He said, I won't wake you. I'll be as quiet as I can. But if, you know, I should happen to wake you, you see something, don't get alarmed. It's just what I do. And Keith said, oh, that's fine. I'm a sound sleeper. And Keith said about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, he heard a commotion. He kind of woke up, and he sees Don get up. And Keith said, I should have just gone back to sleep, he said, but I wanted to watch. And he said, and Don got up, and he went over to the little desk there in the hotel room. He said, and he put a towel over the lamp so that it wouldn't cast a lot of light, but he wanted to be able to see. So he turned the lamp on with the towel over it, and he said the first thing he did is he sang. He said he sang a hymn. And he said he sang it real quiet, but I could hear him singing. He's singing this hymn as quietly as he could, but he was singing it out loud. He said, and then he just started reading the Bible, and he spent a long time. He said, I'm just peeking out of one eye the whole time, watching. He said, and then after a while, he closed the book, and he said he just prayed. And he said, I don't know how long he prayed. He said, I was in and out. He said he probably prayed 20 minutes. He said the whole thing probably was 40 minutes, 45 minutes. And then, he said, he turned off the light, and he went back to bed. Now, that's the part I didn't know. When I always heard about Don DeWelt getting up early and praying, I figured he got up early and prayed, and then he, you know, took on the day. But no, he went back to bed. And I didn't know you could do that, but you can do that. And when I heard that story, I decided, you know what? I wake up two or three times in the night. I'll just start praying. Now sometimes, I had an old elder when I was in Huntington preaching in West Virginia. He used to talk about God waking him up to pray. And that's what he believed. If he woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning with somebody on his mind, he believed that God was waking him up to pray for that person. And I'm not going to argue with that. Maybe God was waking him up to pray. But I have learned that those wee hours of the night, and that's what Job is talking about here, in these wee hours of the night, it's a good time for us old guys to pray. You say, well, what if I fall asleep while I'm praying? So what? So you fall asleep when you're praying. Is there something wrong? Is there something wrong with talking to God as you go to sleep? Do you think our Heavenly Father minds it that his children fall asleep in his arms? Talk to God in the night. Talk to God and hear the whisper. Now, when God impresses something on us, God guides us, God whispers to us. Yeah, again, I believe what John said. We got to test these things. And the truth is, I don't think we know until afterwards when we look back and we say, oh, you know what? God was telling me something then. You know what I'm talking about? It's a looking back. It's a retrospect. You know, you read in Acts, I think it's Acts 16, where Luke talks about we tried to go into Asia, but the Spirit of the Lord kept us from going there. The Holy Spirit prevented us from going to this place or this place. And I wonder, what did he mean by that? And I really do believe that looking back, Luke could say, you know what? There were doors closing, and it actually worked out better for us to go this way. I believe the Holy Spirit prevented us from going this direction. I think that's generally how it works. We look back and say, you know what? I see where God was telling me this. God was teaching me this. God was showing me this. God was moving me in this direction. But if we don't slow down and listen, we never hear the whisper. All right, there's a fourth way. God speaks to us through his word, the Bible, through the written word, through the spoken word, through the whisper, the Spirit pushing us and moving us. And there's a fourth way that God speaks to us, and that is that God speaks to us through our pain. God speaks to us through the pain. Job here, it talks about when I was in my bed of affliction, my bed of pain. God speaks to us through life's hardships. I saw a movie this week called Courageous. Maybe you've seen it, maybe you heard of it. It's one of these three, the third of these movies that came out by this Christian organization. I have to say, I didn't really like the first two, Facing Giants and the fire one about marriage. You know, I'm like you. I don't like the faith-only stuff in that. This one didn't have it, by the way. This one didn't have anyone kneeling down and inviting Jesus in their heart. I was glad for that. But this movie, Courageous, I got to tell you, it's good. It's good. It's got a powerful message. But without telling you what happens, because I think you ought to go see it, but the key character in this story, his 9-year-old daughter is killed in a car accident. And he doesn't know what to do, so he goes to see his preacher. Now, he's a believer. He goes to church. He's active in his church. But, man, this really shakes a person up. And he goes to see the preacher, and there's this powerful scene in the movie when he's sitting in the preacher's office, and he says, he's a broken man. He said, help me make sense of this. He said, what do I'm supposed to lead my family, my wife and my son, and I can't make sense of this. Will you help me make sense of this? And the preacher in this story, He didn't really know what to say. I wouldn't know what to say. Maybe you'd know what to say. I wouldn't know what to say. And he said, you know, it doesn't always make sense. And God never promises us that we won't go through hardships. But he says God does promise that he'll walk through them with us. And then he said this, the preacher in the movie, and I think he was a real preacher. He said, I can tell you this. He said, I have known people who have gone through these deep times of pain in their life. And if they're willing, and if they allow God to, they will experience a deep connection with God that others never do. And I believe that's true. God speaks to us sometimes through our pain. Psalm 119, verse 67 says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. The poet said, I walked a mile with laughter, and she chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. But I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. There's a story in 1 Kings chapter 19, just after Elijah confronts the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. And Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, vows to kill Elijah, make him pay for what he did. And Elijah goes from, you know, the mountaintop to the valley. And he's hiding in a cave, and he doesn't know what to do, and he's distraught. And the Lord tells him to go up on the mountain, Elijah, because the Lord is going to pass by. And so Elijah goes. And you know the story there in 1 Kings 19. It says that there was a great wind, powerful wind that came through and busted up rocks. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. It says, then there was a great earthquake, and the mountain trembled and the rocks fell. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was a fire, a great fire, shot down. I don't know what it did, but it was powerful, a powerful thing to see. But the Lord wasn't in the fire. And then it says, I think it's verse 12, came a gentle whisper, and the Lord was in the whisper. You know, we miss so much of God speaking to us. Job says it's not a hearing problem. It's not that God doesn't speak. He says we don't listen because we're looking at the earthquake and we're looking for the fire and the wind, and God's in the whisper. Be still and know that I am God. Let's pray. Father, we want to learn to pray. And we want to get to know you. So Lord, teach us to pray. To take the time to get alone, to slow down, to be still. Father, we get so busy sometimes. And our minds go a hundred different directions. Teach us, Lord, to slow down and hear you, whether it's through your written word or your spoken word, whether it's through our pain or the gentle whisper. Father, we long to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.